Hi everyone. I hope you're all safe and taking care of yourself wherever you are. It's madness outside. If you're in India, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I myself was down with COVID and was unable to record and bring out any new episode last month. Thankfully, my family and I all recovered with home isolation and regular meds, but not everybody was this lucky. With everything that's been happening around, I felt completely helpless and often anxious. So while I was down with this virus, I was doing my research and found this wonderful initiative that is helping people on ground to fight hunger in Mumbai. I bring out their story to you to shine a light on the work they are doing, and with a little hope that if you're able to, you will donate to their cause and spread the word by sharing this episode with your friends. You'll find the link to donate in the episode description. Thank you for tuning in and stay safe. Hey everyone, I'm Swati Rawat and welcome to the Visionary Podcast, where I talk to visionary Indian women with inspiring, intriguing and aspirational stories. In episode 37, our visionary is Neeti Goyal. She's a restaurateur and co-founder of Khana Chahiye, an NGO started as a relief operation during the COVID-19 pandemic in Mumbai. With a team of more than 600 volunteers, they have served around 47 lakh meals to migrant workers and slum dwellers and also provide ration kits around the city. Neeti is also the co-founder of the Ghar Bhejo campaign with Sonu Sood, and she is also starting a new initiative called Rahat Chahiye to help with the oxygen crisis. Tune in as Neeti shares on-ground stories of hunger during this pandemic and how a regular citizen can help and contribute.
Hi Swati, thank you for having me over on your show. It's a pleasure. So just to let you know about myself, I'm Neeti Goyal. I'm actually from Chandigarh and I've done my chartered accountancy and I got into hospitality. So I was working as a CA earlier. But something was not right and I'm more of a people's person. So I thought I'll venture into hospitality, which was about 10 years back. I opened my first restaurant, which was called Nom Nom. And after that, I did Madras Diaries and then Kiba at Mahalakshmi Racecourse and Ustad. All were different cuisines and very, very well-curated restaurants with very different menus. And from different parts of the world, the chefs were flown in. And all have made a niche for themselves. And that's how I became a restaurateur. So last year when the pandemic hit, and there was not that I was in so much of philanthropic work or anything. I was just leading a normal life with two children and a nice family to go back to and trying to balance the work and my home. But last year when the pandemic hit, you know, I realized that being a restaurateur is not only about feeding people in good times, but also in bad times. So I started in making about 500 meals, you know, from my restaurants and just started distributing it just in nearby localities where we saw people who were actually hungry. And this was much before the lockdown. This was on 18th of March. The lockdown was announced on 24th. Even before the lockdown was announced, there was a lot of distress which we could see around us. And on the 24th of March, when the lockdown was announced, nobody knew the gravity of the situation. It was just taken very, very casually. So what I, me and a couple of friends, Ruben Mascarenhas, Anik Swaraj, we all got together and we thought we'll make meals on our own and we'll distribute along the highways on the Eastern Express and the Western Express. Because we figured that most of the homeless people were gathering below the bridges and, you know, they were taking protection here. So for 27th, we left with 1,200 meals. And trust me, even if we had 12,000 meals, it would have been less. People were fighting and they were ready to kill each other for just one box of food. And that's when we realized that the gravity of the situation is a lot more intense and a lot more needs to be done than what is being done. So we were lucky that in a week's time, we were able to scale up to 10,000 meals a day. And then a lot of donors came in. Initially, we self-funded it. But then a lot of donors came in, a lot of help poured in, volunteers started coming in. And in about 2 weeks' time, we were at 1 lakh meals a day. Until now, we've done 47 lakh meals.
So you have done 47 lakh meals up until now. And what is the number per day?
So there were days when we did 1 lakh meals because we had adopted all the Shramik trains which were ferrying the migrants back home. Yes. So there was a tweet which we came across and it was like, you know, a woman had died in a Shramik train because there was no food and water.
I remember.
And there were some children deaths also. That's when we approached the MCGM that we want to officially adopt all the Shramik trains from Bandra, LTT and Kurla. And they were happy to give them to us. So every single train, we were putting food and water for 36 hours to 48 hours, dry snacks like matthis, theplas, which wouldn't get spoiled, fruits, biscuits, water. So people, the children, everybody could go hungry, wouldn't go hungry. And you won't believe it, Swati, we were ourselves there at the railway station. And when we saw the faces, you know, when they were getting that food, the happiness was like no end. I mean to say, I don't think I've ever get so much satisfaction in my life as we would have got that time.
Yeah.
So that's when our meals were running almost to a lakh a day. But on an average, we've done about 40,000-45,000 a day. And even now in the second lockdown, we've started distributing meals again to the homeless. And now we are doing 20,000 meals a day. So also to just let you know, when in October the situation had eased out, our volunteers and our team was still at work and we were trying to make a hunger map of the city. So we were covering all the pockets, every single nook and corner of Bombay. And we were filtering them with data, as in people who have ration card, people who have voters ID, people who have a small sort of a hutment. And we had 36 layers of data to filter. And after filtering, we came across about 20,000 people who were absolutely homeless, destitute, and didn't have any means to cook also. So I am so glad that that exercise came in use now, because we have that data. And we are actually reaching out to the really, really needy ones right now.
Neeti, could you tell me more about like the operations of the Khana Chahiye initiatives? Like, are you only operating in Mumbai? How are people reaching out to you? How are you sort of even organizing these number of meals, putting together, giving out to the people?
We are right now operating only in Mumbai. So we have restaurant partners with us who are on board. We source the materials directly from the farmers in Nasik and Pune, right from the rice to the grains to the vegetables. So we try to keep the cost as low as possible for a healthy, nutritious meal. It costs anywhere between 18 to 22 rupees to make a good, healthy 450 grams meal. Otherwise, if you would go anywhere, it won't be less than 32 rupees. But we are trying to keep the cost very low by sourcing. And being from a restaurateur, I have been heading these operations. So I know exactly where we can reduce the cost, we can source the right ingredients. So the biggest challenge was to, you know, get the ingredients in the lockdown, because imagine there were times when, you know, nothing was available and where to source this kind of material to make this quantities of food. So it took us a while to kind of struggle and find our way through, but we managed to get all the permissions. I think the government has been very supportive towards our efforts, and they issued us passes. We were allowed to get trucks in from Nasik. So during the lockdown, when it was an absolute curfew, our trucks were coming and going with milk, with grains, with vegetables, with supplies. So that's how our kitchens kept working. When it comes to the distribution side, we have a whole team of 600 volunteers and they have been assigned different regions. So our whole plan is that as soon as the food is cooked, within 2 hours, it has to reach the beneficiary, because of the weather conditions in India. It is so hot. If you leave the food for more than 2 hours, you know, it starts getting spoiled. So we were trying to reduce that time lapse between it being made and it being distributed. So that's why we have a whole team of volunteers who are on the ground all the time. And how we know where the hungry pockets are. So we have something called Report Hunger. And it is basically a link. So a lot of people in their societies, we urge everyone to report hunger to us. And that's how we get demand. Every single day, the meals are increasing because a lot of people report hunger. And just recently now WhatsApp has tied up with us, and they are making a small icon like Report Hunger. And I think they'll be sending it to all the WhatsApp users. So I think that will be really, really a great initiative by WhatsApp, because it's very easy to report hunger on WhatsApp. And we also have a helpline. So people call over there and all sorts of help is provided.
Okay. I mean, it's absolutely, I don't even have to say it. It's absolutely fantastic what you're doing, Neeti. Because when we think about the impact of COVID, I believe we read the statistics and we think of the people who are sick and not necessarily about the daily wage earners or the migrant workers who got displaced and are even struggling to meet the basic needs of feeding their family. Neeti, just from your own personal experience, could you paint a broad picture for us to comprehend about the situation right now and how long it's going to go? Like when you meet these people and when you look at the situation, like is the number increasing? Are you distributing more meals as the weeks progress, or is the number decreasing and people are sort of figuring out a way on how they can stabilize on their own and sort of start feeding on their own and stand up on their own feet?
Swati, on-ground situation is extremely stark, and we are flooded with calls every day of ration, of food. And now we get more calls for ration because we now give ration kits, which last a family of four for 14 days. And the surprising bit is earlier the calls were only from Mumbai, but now we are also getting calls from tribals, from tribal areas in Raigarh, in various districts in Maharashtra. People are reaching out to us that these villagers are hungry because apparently they have all gone back to their villages and now the food supplies are over and there's nothing, no occupation at all for the men. So the situation is only getting worse. It's only the gravity of hunger is only increasing, and it's extremely sad to see how things are happening. And even a lot of, you know, orphanages have started reaching out to us now. So we were earlier working with 32 orphanages, and now again they have started reaching out that the grants and all have stopped coming, and they need funds because even the churches are closed, and if they were funded by the churches, there are no funds to take care of the orphanages. So we are getting a lot of desperate calls. Even the circus guys are calling us that absolutely no shows, and how do we sustain with the animals and the people who work in the circus. So the sex workers are calling us. So we are trying to do our best to fight hunger. But luckily, this time around, we've got a great support in terms of individual donors, institutional donors. So our scale of operations is growing many folds every single day.
Neeti, could you tell me, like you being an on-ground soldier, how can a regular citizen like me help during this crisis?
So there are three things you can do. You can amplify our campaign by spreading the word. We need volunteers, we need the funds. So we have and you can report hunger. So there are three things. One is that you amplify the campaign. The second is you can share the URL link for donation. So whatever, every single rupee counts and adds up to a meal. So that is the second thing. The third is if somebody needs to volunteer, they can do it even by sitting at home. There is a lot of coordination work to be also done. So it can be done from home. We need intelligent, tech-savvy guys, because a lot of things are now smartly done, handled when you have softwares to manage them. And the third is report hunger. So if anyone sees hunger anywhere around them, they see some hungry people group up, they can report to us and our food will reach there. These are the ways people can come forward and help us.
And Neeti, for now, this is Mumbai specific or Maharashtra specific?
Yeah, for now it's Mumbai specific, but a lot of teams are reaching out to us from Pune, from Delhi. They want to replicate this model in their cities as well. But right now we have our hands so full with Mumbai that we are not able to even cater to full Mumbai. So we don't want to expand our operations pan India. And we are also starting a new initiative called Rahat Chahiye. And so this is basically oxygen. So oxygen is also a vital food for the body. So it is just changing from cooked meals to a more simple way of, absorbing food, because oxygen is in the purest form. And we have 10 ambulances, and these ambulances are not only to ferry the patients to the beds, but also sometimes, when a patient is detected with COVID and the oxygen starts falling, there is a time lapse of 3 to 4 hours in the patient actually getting a bed. Even if it's a very influential family, they would take at least 2 to 3 hours to finalize a bed anywhere in Bombay.
That's the best case scenario right now.
And and it's a very critical time, because if a patient needs to be hospitalized, then oxygen is one parameter which definitely gets going. So we have this mobile oxygen beds. So we, as soon as we get an SOS call, a panel of doctors will, there are SOPs already ascertained. A panel of doctors are going to ascertain, whether the patient needs to be on an oxygen cylinder or not. As soon as those parameters are met, immediately the ambulance will leave, park outside the society, colony, house, whatever, get the patient in the ambulance and give oxygen support for the next 3-4 hours until the bed is sorted. And if it's sorted before that, the ambulance will move with the patient.
Neeti, just going back to my earlier question about the donation, I want to ask you quite candidly, like, if an individual like me wants to donate, what do you think is the minimum or an average amount that I should put into that might really help someone, or that might, say, provide meal to at least one or two families?
You know, Swati, thanks for asking that. It is so humbling to see. Today, there were some DMs on my Insta, and those people are themselves daily wage earners, but they have reached their hometowns and they have written to me in their local language that, Madam Ji, like, to just to translate it, humne 100 rupiya dala hai, humne 501 rupiya dala hai, you know, Bombay mein help our brothers, sisters. So it was very, very overwhelming. People are trying to help each other in these times. So no amount is a small amount. It's the thought that counts, and every drop adds to a meal. So I think this is something very, very specific to your situation, to how blessed you are in life, to, you know, and however much you want to donate, everything adds up. So I think it's very individual, and whatever comes in is a help.
Okay. I mean, I want to thank you again for sharing this story, Neeti. It actually means a lot to me personally, because I have been feeling helpless with everything that I'm reading around myself and everything that's happening. I want to do my part, and I also want to urge my listeners to sort of donate as much as they can to Khana Chahiye initiative. These guys are working on the ground, providing meals, making sure that people are not starving during this crisis, and really helping out people. Neeti, I mean, given the, you know, the overwhelming information all around and this sensationalized headlines that come out every second, every minute, how do you focus on the issue at hand at any given point in time?
Swati, there are times when even we get extremely emotional, and when we see such situations, like recently I came across a lady who was cooking, and we didn't stop, you know, to give her food because she was anyways cooking, and there were 5-6 children sitting around her. So she came running behind our vehicle. So we stopped. And I said, why you want food? You're anyways cooking. So she was just crying and she couldn't speak. So I said, okay, let me go and see what she is cooking. So when we opened it was like an earthen pot. When we opened the pot, there were stones in it. And she said that, main to sirf bachcha log ko dikha raha tha ki kuch ban raha hai. So they will just cry and go to sleep. So this is the stark reality which we face day in and day out. So it is very disturbing for us as, you know, being a core team of Khana Chahiye. Even our volunteers sometimes break down seeing the on-ground situation. But then we also have a holistic approach towards the whole thing that, you know, better doing something than nothing. And let's, like, guys all fight hunger and see what best can be done. So I think this is this time when all the citizens need to come together. It's not only the government, because it's way beyond, you know, the means of any one person to do anything. If the whole country stands together in unity and helps each other out, if anyone sees anyone hungry or any stray animal being hungry around them, if they just take care of that person which is next to them, I think this problem will be resolved a lot more. So this is the message we need to give everyone, that please stand up and support at least the people around you. So even if you have drivers, you have maids who you are not calling home because of COVID, at least support them with ration, with whatever little amount, so that their gas always keeps burning in the house and their children don't go hungry. So I think if everyone, all of us, can stand by the people around us, this problem will get resolved.
And Neeti, I just want to ask a more personal question to you. I mean, amid everything that's happening and everything that you're doing, how are you coping with this exhausting crisis physically, mentally, and emotionally? Because it must be overwhelming for you too.
Yeah, Swati, I don't think I have even time to think of how exhausting it is, because we've just put ourselves into it, and it is like, I don't know, I think God is giving us some energy, because we guys are actually working 24/7. I would say we feel there are 26 hours in a day the way we are working. If you call me at 4:30 in the morning also, I'm available. You call me at 12 p.m. also, 12 a.m. also, I'm available. So I think it's some unforeseen energy or some unforeseen blessings, you know, that we are just catalyst, and it's God's work that we are doing, and we are just the chosen ones to, you know, carry on his work, and we are just mediums to do that. So it's very surprising to see, because I'm actually not such an active person. Like, I like to have my own time for my own you know, whatever, social media, talk to my friends. It's been ages. I haven't spoken to my own mother. I don't have time because that can be on hold. She's still with me always. But right now, the you know, these people need us. They need our services. So we've all, the whole team has just put themselves in it totally. And, you know, the way we have kind of dissolved with the situation, I think there is no, we are feeling that we are a part of it. We are feeling their pain. We feel their hunger. We can see the pain in their eyes. All these things are so moving, so overwhelming that there's no question of, you know, us feeling that, you know, we are stressed out or anything. Yes, we do get emotional at times, but then the team is there to cheer each other up.
Yeah,
in fact, yesterday only we saved someone's life. So though we were, it was a food helpline, but we got a desperate call from a patient's family, and they wanted to admit them in a hospital, and they were not able to get an ambulance. And these guys had, the patient had COVID and he suffered a heart attack. So it was a very, very important critical situation where he needed a cardiac ambulance. So luckily our volunteers were able to arrange it. Within half an hour, the patient was admitted in the hospital and we managed to save this life.
Wow. I mean, Neeti, just personally speaking, it's like people like you and hearing stories like this, which is, you know, keeping my faith in humanity and what the world can do if we all just come together and help people out. Thank you again so much for everything that you're doing. Everything.
Thank you, Swati. And thank you for making our listeners hear our story. And I would like to inspire everyone. I would like to request everyone with folded hands to come forward and do whatever best they can in their capacities, in their societies, their localities, to take care of everyone. Please wear masks, stay indoors, take care of your loved ones and stay safe.
Yeah, Neeti, I mean, it's the least I can do. And the other thing that I'm going to do after this is I'm going to donate to Khana Chahiye after this. And I'm also going to urge all my listeners and friends to do that too. Thank you so much for coming on to the show and sharing your precious, precious time with me. Neeti, I just want to end this conversation on a positive note. For people who don't know, you're also the co-founder of Ghar Bhejo campaign with Sonu Sood, right? Could you share a hopeful story coming out of this wonderful effort that might leave us a little optimistic about the world?
So, you know, the whole crux behind Ghar Bhejo is that me and Sonu realized that, you know, giving food every day, it's not an end solution, because what after 15 days, what after 1 month? So the cost of sending one migrant home was 2 rupees a kilometer. So if you take in a month, we are spending almost the same amount of money in food that we would have spent on one time travel to the village. So 2 rupees per kilometer. On an average, it was 1500 kilometers distance, because somebody lives in Ranchi and somebody lives in Karnataka, which is closer. So on an average, 1500 kilometers. So the cost was coming to 3000 a migrant. And that kind of money anyways, we were spending on giving them food and supplies for a month for staying in Bombay. And the situation was, because they could not pay rents, they were removed from their, they were on the roads to die. So, and these are the people who've built the cities, they've built the metros, they've built the bridges, they've built all the highways with their own hands, and they were left on the roads to die. So this was a pain which me and Sonu felt, and that's why this Ghar Bhejo campaign started. It was a very difficult campaign because we didn't know how we are going to send them home, because there was not a rickshaw or a cycle available on the road. But I think everyone knows the story from there on. And we initially again started with our own funds, and we actually heavily, heavily donated to make this happen. But after that, a lot of people came in together and we could manage it. So one of the best stories is that a lot of people went back, their wives were expecting. So they had babies. A lot of them have called their baby Sonu.
Yeah, because, you know, I saw,
like a tribute. Yeah, it's like a tribute to Sonu.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of their mothers and parents were ill. They could go back and get their treatment done. Now they are surviving. So we get very sweet video messages from these, haan beta aashirwad, main aapki dadi bol rahi hoon. And we get these kind of videos with us. So I think almost more than a lakh and a half migrants have my phone number and Sonu's phone number.
Yeah.
So we, at that point, we were like filled with, you can say, video recordings and thank you messages. So, you know, the gratitude, I mean to say, these people, there was something to learn from them. They had a sense of gratitude. And if we have gratitude in life, everything falls in place. These people are humble. They are simple. They are determined. Imagine they were determined to walk 1500, 1800 kilometers, and they believed they could do this with small children, with women. It is a determination. So there is a lot to learn from these guys. Mm-hmm. And this is a positive thing that came out of Ghar Bhejo, that all the migrants have taught us a lesson that whenever you think you can do something, you can. You be determined in life, be humble, be simple. And of course, express gratitude for whatever good happens and good will happen.
Please go to khanachahiye.com and donate as much as you can. You'll find the link in the episode description. Thanks for listening in, and please subscribe to the show to catch the next episode. You can follow us on Instagram to stay in touch and get all the updates. Our Instagram handle is vision.nari. That's vision.nari. If you know a visionary that I should feature on this podcast, write to me at thevisionarypodcast@gmail.com. That's thevisionarypodcast@gmail.com. This podcast is produced by Launchora, a storytelling and creative learning platform. Theme music is created by Diala Swain. She's a uniquely talented music producer from New Zealand. Do check out her music on SoundCloud or follow the link in the description. I'll see you guys soon with a new visionary. Have a great day.